Thank you, Elizabeth. We've spent a lot of good quality time together these last 3 days, and Margaret Prim, wherever she may be, it has been a pleasure to be in Hopkinsville, Christian County, these last 2 to 3 days. I've seen many of you, even on the street corner, some of you have spotted me. I was working, legitimately. We were doing our Kentucky Edition show that aired last night and the night before, and we have been embedded here for the last couple of days, and I had a crew of 12 to 15, and some folks from marketing and our corporate development, and the Alhambra was where we embedded. And Margaret, wherever you are, I have to just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Your staff, particularly Bryce Sutton, was so instrumental in helping us have a very successful broadcast. The program last night that we taped will air this coming Monday night at 7 Central Kentucky Tonight, and a lot of the people in this room are going to be a part of that program. So I've been very humbled to be here. You know, I told Elizabeth, I'm just a country girl from Portland, Tennessee, right? And when people are nice to you, you don't take that for granted. And so I want you to know, there you are, Margaret. Thank you so much. When people are nice to you, they don't have to be, is what my mom said. And when they are, you show it. And just thank you for everything. It has been a great 2 or 3 days. I don't get spoiled like this, Senator. When I go back to Lexington, they don't care. So it's good to see you and Representative Dawson and Representative Walker. It's good to see you outside of the halls of Frankfurt, right? And it's been such a warm welcome here, all the elected officials. Just thank you for our time here. Elizabeth, too, is one of the most hospitable people I have ever known, and she opened up her home to me and my crew and just outdid herself in showing just that gracious hospitality. And if you are a member of KET, you get the Visions Program Guide in the mail. And when you open up the very first page, there is a beautiful picture of Elizabeth McCoy and an accompanying article. We call those Making a Difference. And it really highlights community luminaries who are literally making a difference. And she brags about KET, but of course we wanted to brag about her and the great work that she's doing in this community. So I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes. I'm not going to talk politics at all. At all. KET is so much more than public affairs and public policy, and that is my bread and butter. That's what I was built to cover. I believe that with every ounce of my being. But KET is so much more than any one thing, and we're not just a television station. We are a public service, literally. And so we tell Kentucky's story and the people who make the state great. Education, information, connection, we got a lot in common, some of the same words that you all use. Inspiration, those are the words that describe Kentucky Educational Television, and it's what we strive to deliver. We are proud Kentuckians, even though I was born in Portland, Tennessee. I've been in Kentucky ever since I was 18, and I'm a lot older than that now. So Kentucky is my home. And so when we produce a product, know that it is about Kentucky and by Kentuckians. What I love about KET is that we explore what's possible and the potential. From our children's content to all of our programming about arts and sciences and history and culture, we give viewers, regardless of your age, your station in life, your socioeconomic status, we give you an opportunity to explore a path and a world beyond what you immediately see and put you on a path to lifelong learning. That's what we're about. And that's a very similar goal to what we have witnessed these last couple of days at the Alhambra, right? A community that is thriving with energy literally in the color scheme and in the decor and just the vibrancy of that place, right? And where you have kids who come in and who can see performances. And yesterday we got to witness the wonderfully made program, right? With the beautiful jewelry that that had been disassembled and was recreated into something. Inclusivity, creativity is what you're about, and including folks who may not always be a part of that process. I appreciate that, Margaret, and I know the community does. And we were so glad to feature that story that's going to air tomorrow night at 5:30 on KET. It was a wonderful day to capture, and our crew members just enjoyed it so very much. The work that Margaret does is so important. The work that Terrence Davis does. I don't know if he's in the room tonight, but I learned that you all have the best boys and girls club anywhere. Absolutely, hands down, right? Possibilities, that's the word. Possibilities, showing people that there is a path to a larger life, a brighter future. That's what Terrence does. I am a PBS kid. So when I grew up in the 70s, you had three channels, and to get PBS, you had to stand with your right leg up and tinfoil, right? Go adjust the outside antenna, right? That's what you had to do. And I grew up in a working class family. I'm an only child. My mother didn't work for a few years when I was young, and they wanted a better life for me because they worked with their hands, but they wanted me to work with my mind. So my mother, every morning, week morning, we would get up, and our routine was breakfast, prayers, and PBS. And we watched Sesame Street, and we watched Mr. Rogers, and we watched Electric Company. And Mom would say, what did you learn? What's your numbers? Let's talk about literacy. Let's talk about numeracy. What did you learn about being kind? Who did you see on that show who didn't look like you? Appreciate them just as much as you appreciate the ones who look like you, right? That was my early childhood development program. It was Mom and Mr. Rogers. And I turned out all right. But what we know now, and I've learned this by working at KET for 27 years, is that we are dedicated to early childhood learning like very few other institutions, because we know that a child's brain is developed from the time they are born to their time they are 3 years old. Right, that's when most of the brain development is occurring. And they need that exposure to ideas and to conversation and to creativity and to socialization to become the best version of themselves. So I knew at the age of 4 or 5, I don't know where Amy Watson is tonight. I don't know if she knew I was fangirling on her. I tried to hold my composure. But Amy, I have watched, there she is. Because when I'm in Portland, what do? Because I get up at 4 a.m. I turn on TV and Amy's there, right? And I trust Amy. And back in the day, you know who I watched, Amy? Bill Goodman, who used to work at KET, started at Channel 5. Same time around when Oprah was there. But when I was coming up, it was Brenda Blackman, Mr. Hines, Chris Clark. And I looked at those people and I thought, you know, I think I could do that. And so my mother bought me a little pretend typewriter, and I would put my stuffed animals around me, and they were my captive audience, and they were riveted by my delivery and my writing skills, right? But PBS was part of the gateway for me to know that I could be more than just what I had. And so we really are committed to making sure that kids of all ages, and that means whether you're 0 or you're 100, are exposed to things to put you on a path to a greater life. And we love to shine the light on what we call our KET All-Stars. The 2024 All-Stars exemplify educational excellence, and they nurture positive outcomes for students, regardless of their station in life. And one of the 24, we do two dozen a year, is actually in Christian County. Chris Tyson Renshaw, digital learning coach. And in February, we had partnered with Chris to present a two-day workshop for 48 students in Christian County Schools' media production pathway. And our multimedia journalist, Laura Rogers from Bowling Green, came here, and she talked to those students. She showed them what television production and news gathering was about. They edited a project, and many of them thought, maybe this is what I would want to do. Because we realized that hands-on application is the best way to really know who you are and what you want to pursue. From our online education toolkits to our field trips that you can see online that take kids wherever across the state, that's what we do at PBS, to broaden the world and horizons of the kids who we want to nurture into productive adults. And it's not just the kids. It's not just preschool through high school, but adult education is extremely important to us. And we have put a lot of commitment behind the GED series that we own, right? Out of the nation, PBS, KET has been a part of that curriculum toward high school equivalency. And the work we've done in recent years that really connects to the chamber is workforce development. Several years ago, there was a lot of attention by the chamber drawn to Kentucky's workforce participation rate. We were higher then, back in 2015 or so, than we are now. And there's lots of reasons for that that I won't get into. But recognizing that a part of what we need to do in being an educational delivery system was to also address how do you get those who were disengaged in the workforce back engaged into the workforce. And so today I had the pleasure of speaking to Dr. Alyssa Young. Alyssa Young, again, she was on my show last night, but we had a little one-on-one conversation. I don't know where she is, if she's here tonight. There she is in the back. Good to see you again, Dr. Alyssa Young. And then I also have Dr. Cynthia Kelly from Madisonville Community College. Is she in the room? And we had a great conversation. They both bragged on each other because they're not that far from each other, right? So we talk about duplication in higher education. How do you streamline things? How do you make sure transfer credits are, you know, more readily done and more expedient and secure? But we talked about the collaboration, Dr. Young, that you have with Dr. Kelly when it comes to some of the facets of the healthcare sector and helping to train people in certain areas. And that's what I appreciate about this community so much, that in times when you could be competitors, and not that you're not ever, you recognize times to collaborate. If you've got five kids over here doing something at one college and five kids over here doing something, then why wouldn't you come together to make that work for everyone? We've had forums on workforce development and training and explored pathways. So I'm excited about your new high school, Taylor. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, understand that perhaps this is a merger of types and you're going to have career pathways, right? Where kids who want to go into health sciences can go down this hallway and they've got that. If they want to go into journalism or the arts, there's this pathway literally that is created for them. And we've had a chance to tell the stories of schools that have done just that with a great deal of success. Because we know that about two-thirds of kids in elementary school right now will ultimately have jobs that we haven't even thought of yet. Two-thirds of the kids right now in elementary school are going to have jobs that we haven't even thought of yet. So that means the business community and the education community, which I say I'm a proud member of, maybe tertiary-like, but I still feel like I'm a part of that community, have to work more closely than ever before to prepare young people for the workforce for the future. And that's especially important in a state like Kentucky, where the workforce participation rate is still dipping down. You're in the bottom five, right? We know there are five major employment sectors that drive Kentucky's economy and drive many other states' economy: construction and trade, advanced manufacturing, transportation and logistics, business and information technology, and health services. And this high school is going to prepare this county and this state. You're not just developing a future for Christian County and the region of Pennyroyal, right? You're talking about you're going to expand it for the state. And it happens right here. A couple of the people that we got to meet who've done this kind of similar career pathways, we profiled in 2018 a young girl named Michaela from McCreary County. And we met her, we went over to her school and talked to her, and then went on her pre-apprenticeship program. And she completed a pre-nursing career pathway at McCreary County High School. And then she started shadowing a dentist. And she finally ended up at University of Louisville Medical School. And she earned a degree just 2 years ago. Another young lady who I still keep in touch with, her name is Dakia Sweat. And she went to Frederick Douglass High School. Taylor, you know, we were talking about that school last night in Lexington that has this career pathway program. She had a very interesting concept. She was very interested in mental health, but she loved to cook. So she wanted to fuse her love of cooking with how that could provide some mental health therapy, right? And so she went to Fisk University, got a full scholarship. She's now down in Austin, Texas. I'm trying to get her back, right? But she came from the projects in Lexington, Kentucky. I remember I used to pick her up to take her places, and I was praying all the way, right? But I saw something in daycare. I saw a drive, and I told her, you are going to change the course for your family. The curse is broken. You are going to change the direction of prosperity for your family, and she's doing that just now. In the mountains, where we visited lots of times, the Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative, or KVEC, they are learning the construction trades, as well as design, creativity, and business planning skills. And what they're doing, and this has become increasingly important during the time of the disaster, of the floods in 2022, they were building tiny houses. These are kids, 11th grade, 12th grade kids, building tiny houses that then became substantial housing for those who were displaced by the storms. You think what kids are doing is just to get a grade? They are giving life to people, and this community is helping to make that happen. These pathway programs are important for educationally and for workforce development. I have witnessed that you all are just all in when it comes to education. I met Roger and Sandy Grogan last night, parents of Rotary Scholars, and I see Cody. Where's Cody? I'm getting ready to shout you out in just a minute. So I met these parents of the Rotary Scholars, Houston and Harrison, and these parents are beaming. Both have returned to Hopkinsville. Houston is a doctor of chiropractic medicine, and Harrison is an IT supervisor. And I know that their parents are proud as punch, and they give a lot of credit to the Rotary Scholars Program for putting them on a path to success. But I also met Ajada Poindexter, a Rotary Scholar, a Hopkinsville Community College graduate. Now listen to this young lady's credentials. She's the Minority Student Union President and Presidential Ambassador, Vice President and Editor of the Roundtable Library Journal, a member of the Bell Hooks Legacy Group, an Executive Assistant at the Hopkinsville Human Rights Commission, and maintains a 4.0 grade point average. Right? The talent is here. The drive is here. And one of the biggest ambassadors for the Rotary Scholars Program, the Rotarian himself, Cody Knopfsinger. He gave me his elevator pitch the first 5 minutes that we met. Is that not right? I don't even think you said your name before I heard about the Rotary Scholars Program. And you said exemplifies how a community is solving a problem together by paying for 2 years at Hopkinsville Community College and raising $560,000 in a year for that effort. And that has even led to the founding of a teacher and RN recruitment program. And you said it best, Cody, these scholarship programs save and they solve both college affordability and workforce participation issues. So tonight I kind of have a new slogan for Christian County. You are hopping with hope and enriching lives. That is what you are doing. You got a lot of things on the ball, but you are delivering hope. And that's hard to bottle, and that's hard to manufacture, but you're doing it here. One of my favorite all-time writers, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on her native soil, is Bell Hooks. Bell Hooks' book, Sisters of the Yam, reaffirmed everything I am. And those who know what I mean by that. And I read that book cover to cover. I have it highlighted. I've destroyed the book, but I still have the original book. And in times when I need affirmation about who I am and my worth, I go back to that place because Bell Hooks knew me without knowing me. And I've been blessed to have interviewed her so many times and met her sister, Gwenda, and the wonderful documentary KET has done about her. But I came across a quote that I really thought was really suitable and applicable to this situation and this conversation tonight. She wrote, "The challenge these days is to be somewhere, to belong to some particular place, invest oneself in it, draw strength and courage from it, to dwell in a community. And what I have seen in Hopkinsville these last couple of days and a quarter is that you all are about belonging. And what you realize is that if you cultivate an environment of belonging, then people will become. Belonging has to happen first, and then the becoming is next. And you are certainly doing that. My work has taken me all across the state. I haven't been to all 120 counties, but I probably slept going through a couple and didn't know it, right? And I've been blessed to have interviewed all kinds of people, famous people, not so famous people, but you know, the people who really resonate with me that I tell their stories when I go across the state are the community champions and luminaries like many of you in this room, like a young Perry County native named Kate Clemens, who during the flooding a couple of years ago in Perry County, she decided that she was going to do a project called Roscoe's Daughter. Her father's name was Roscoe. And she would scurry up all of this food, and she would box it up, and she would give it to those who didn't have any food that day. And she fed hundreds of people a day. So much so that other nonprofits noticed her work, helped her buy a big old pickup truck and a trailer, and she was able to serve food out of that to hundreds of people and still doing it to this day. And she didn't stop there. Kate decided, I want to have some star kids. And that means kids who are not at risk, they're at promise. But they don't have what I have, and they didn't have what she had. And so she went out and she got all this charitable stuff, toys and bikes, and she gifted it to 60 kids who were at promise. That's the stories that I'm most proud to tell, is of the Kate Clements. I'm proud to tell the story of a young lady who I met when she wasn't even double digits years old from Paducah. Her name is Morgan Guess, and I believe Whitney probably remembers her because she testified a few years ago because she was trying to get an anti-bullying legislation passed just to get it defined, right? Morgan, as a young girl, had been bullied to the point that she thought to take her own life. And instead of falling deeper into isolation, she and her mother developed the Guess Anti-Bullying Initiative, where they talked to lawmakers about the importance of bullying, anti-bullying education. And they started a foundation. Now there's a license plate that says, "Be Kind." That's Morgan Guess, who's now at Duke, who will get out in a couple of years and change this world. And she's in Paducah. They do all kinds of great things with her foundation. They have every Christmas, they ask people to bring scarves and hats and gloves and winter wear, and they put it on a tree so that they can collect all of that and then give it to those who were unhoused. That's the Kentucky spirit that I'm talking about, and that's what we should cling to. They hope through the license plate, Be Kind, to raise $1.7 million in 10 years for youth mental health services. And they've even created drop-in centers for youth who are in emotional and mental distress to go there to get peer support. That's the Kentucky spirit. And then finally, I want to end talking about someone who, near and dear to my heart, in Lexington, Kentucky, a woman and a pastor. They were my pastor. They're now retired from my church. The woman's name is Rosalyn Akins, and many of you here may know her. And she's testified before too, right? Rosalyn Akins was an educator for 30-something years in the Fayette County school system. And she kept noticing that the performance, both ACT and academically on tests, of African-American males was drastically lower compared to their white counterparts. She said, well, I could just talk about it, or I could do something about it. So she did. She developed an academy called BMW, Black Males Working. And notice what she did. It wasn't about black males getting educated. It was about black males working, because the goal is to get you doing something beyond where you currently are and to sustain it. She started off with a couple of dozen boys. In the last 20 years, more than 400 young men have gone through that program. Kids who started off with a 1.7 or 2.1 GPA now have 4.0 GPAs, are getting full-ride scholarships to universities all across the state and out of the state. They have been to Greece, they've been to Dubai, they've been to Europe. Because her creed is, we want our young men to be well-dressed, well-behaved, well-traveled, well-read, well-everything. She took what many would say were at-risk kids and said, you are not at risk, you are at promise. And that's exactly what the Terrences and the Margarets and so many of you are doing in this room. You are holding up what is possible. So when you look at your plight and you think, oh, we've got so much we need to do, cling on to what you're doing right now and what you have done. And you're putting this community on a trajectory that will change this state and be an example for others across this state about how to do it and do it right. It has been my pleasure to be with you these last two or three days. I hope to be back with you. We've got a great inventory of stories to share. All of you have been so kind to share your thoughts and given us your cards and information, and we'll be in touch. This is just the beginning, and I look forward to engaging with you real soon. Thank you so very much for having me tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Sure. Oh, goodness. Oh, wow. Thank you.
I'm Eric.
Nice to meet you, Eric. Yes, nice to meet you, sir.
Renee, it is my privilege to be up here representing the Board of Trustees and the 1,000 physicians, providers, and employees of Jenny Stewart Health. And our healthcare organization is honored to be a presenting co-sponsor of tonight's event.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you on behalf of Planners Bank,
thank you,
Jenny Stewart Health, and everyone here tonight,
thank you,
for sharing your insight, your stories, your love of our community and the incredible people in our community, and your love of Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
We're glad you're our neighbor.
Thank y'all. That's great.
And in the spirit of your warm presentation tonight,
thank you,
the Chamber of Commerce,
thank you,
Christian County has a wonderful gift for you.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you for being
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.